Well, thank you. Like the introduction said, today I'm going to talk about grain sorghum hybrid and winter wheat traits for planting winter wheat after sorghum in no-till managed systems. A little introduction on the background on why the study developed. In central Kansas, researchers have found long-term rotation experiments that wheat yields following grain sorghum tend to be reduced compared to wheat yields following other summer row crops. In western Kansas, K-State researchers have shown that intensifying one's crop rotation coupled with conservation tillage practices can improve the overall economic performance of a farm production system. And then past research has shown that there is potential allelopathic tendencies with grain sorghum residue on a following wheat crop. Phenolic acids and phenolic compounds tend to be phytochemicals that are often associated with this allelopathy. Ben Hamada and associates found that when winter wheat seedling growth was inhibited by previous grain sorghum residue, effects tended to be dependent upon grain sorghum hybrid. Then Dykes and associates analyzed phenolic content within the grain of grain sorghum plants and found that within red pigmented plants, the phenolic content tended to be higher compared to tan sorghum plants. This could result in the potential with the higher phenolic content to be red pigmented plants being more allelopathic than the tan pigmented plants. Then Howell and Associates looked at water requirements based on hybrid maturities and found that typically longer season maturities require more water than shorter season maturities, which can influence, if you're planting winter wheat following a summer row crop, influence the amount of available soil water that would be available for that winter wheat crop. So the objective of this study was to determine grain sorghum plant colors and hybrid maturities that would facilitate planting winter wheat following a summer grain sorghum crop, and then also to identify wheat varieties that are more suitable for planting after grain sorghum in no-till systems. This experiment was conducted over two growing seasons, beginning in 2012 with the planting of the summer row crops in the springtime, and then finally concluding in the summer of 2014 with the final winter wheat crop. Two locations were selected within the state of Kansas that have environments that are conducive for planting winter wheat following grain sorghum. Both Manhattan and Hutchinson locations were used in both growing seasons. Manhattan is located in northeast Kansas, tends to have a little bit more annual rainfall than Hutchinson, Kansas, but both have similar growing degree days or growing length of season, but Manhattan may tend to be a little bit shorter. The experiment was set up in a randomized complete block design with four replications. It was a two-way factorial strip plot treatment structure with six levels within each treatment. To visualize kind of how this was set up, here's a diagram of a single block within the experiment. In the spring or summertime, hybrids were randomly planted within each block, and then following summer harvest in the fall, six winter wheat varieties were planted perpendicular to the summer crops. This would allow for a total of 36 treatment combinations within each block. And because of this treatment structure and setup, for the logistics of it, all wheat varieties were planted within the same date. To evaluate, looking at the summer row crops that I used, we selected five sorghum hybrids. These were based off of maturity and plant color or the pigment color of the plant. Two early sorghum hybrids were used, one red pigmented plant and one tan plant. And then a medium maturity hybrid was used. This was a red plant, red pigmented plant. And then two medium late maturity hybrids were used. And again, one was a red pigmented plant and one was a tan plant. And then also a 113-day corn hybrid was used. All the same hybrids were used within both locations among both growing seasons. For the winter wheat, I selected the winter wheat varieties based off of various components. The first wheat variety I selected was Everest. This is a K-State genetic. Past 2 years, it's been the number one planted wheat variety in the state of Kansas. It's had proven good performance following grain sorghum and also works well in no-till situations. Fuller is another Case State genetics. I selected this one actually just based off past poor performance following grain sorghum. Billings, this is the Oklahoma State genetics. It has also shown good past performance following grain sorghum. Duster, which is another Oklahoma State genetic, this has also shown good performance following grain sorghum. It tends to have higher tiller production, and it's also a good dual-purpose variety, which means you can use it for both grazing and or wheat grain yield options. Southwind, this is an AgriPro or Syngenta product. This was new at the beginning of the experiment, kind of had high expectations and was talked about quite a bit, so we incorporated this into it. And then T154, this is a Lima grain variety, and this was just based off performance in the area of interest that it's had good past performance in both areas. Both crops are managed based off K-State recommendations. What I kind of want to show with this table is the planting date of winter wheat. This is kind of an issue for growers, especially in the state of Kansas, looking at planting wheat following a summer row crop. Planting dates tend to be later, specifically following grain sorghum. Grain sorghum tends to be harvested later than corn or soybeans in the area. So these just show the planting dates for winter wheat following locations within the growing season. The second row shows the optimal planting dates for both locations recommended by K-State. For both locations, it is September 25th to the 20th. So what I want to show is that only one out of the four site years was planted within that optimal date. The other three were planted beyond the optimal dates, and then actually in the Hutchison during the second growing season, looking at the crop insurance coverage date, it was planted 10 days later than the recommended crop and the last date for full coverage for field for crop insurance for winter wheat. So results, there was a treatment by year interaction and then location within year interaction. So results are presented by location within growing season. This is Hutchison for the first growing season, 2012 to 2013. There was a treatment interaction of summer hybrid by wheat variety depicted by the top ANOVA table. Further analysis showed this wasn't dependent upon hybrid, but previous crop. So wheat yields following corn were significantly greater than wheat yields following grain sorghum. The results for this are in the second and third ANOVA table. And it was analyzed based off previous crop then. So wheat varieties within corn tended to be significant, and then also wheat varieties within grain sorghum tended to be significant. But again, sorghum hybrid had no effect on the following wheat variety. So the results here are for wheat varieties following previous crop. For wheat varieties following corn, all wheat varieties performed relatively well other than Southwind. Compared to the other wheat varieties, performance was a little bit poor. And then again, following grain sorghum, overall wheat varieties were less compared to wheat, or all overall wheat yields were less compared to wheat following corn. And again, similar results, except Duster and Fuller, compared to other wheat varieties, performed worse following grain sorghum compared to when they were following corn. A little maybe bit of the explanation on how the interaction occurred at Hutchison. The environment for 2012 was very stressful. We actually ended up with no grain yields for either sorghum or corn. The summer crop started to shut down at the beginning of August. Well, we got significant rainfall in September, which caused regrowth of the grain sorghum plants. So this could have potentially used more water or nutrients. And then what was noticeable beyond throughout the growing season was when the wheat tend to develop quicker following the grain sorghum, following corn compared to the grain sorghum. It emerged quicker. Emergence following for wheat following corn was tipped about 2 months earlier than following grain sorghum. And it was seen throughout the growing season with this picture. This is one wheat variety going down the different rows. The portion of the wheat that's headed out is following corn, while the portion of wheat that's not falling headed out is following grain sorghum. This was not seen within any other environment other than this year. For Manhattan, there was no treatment interaction or any hybrid effect. For 2012 to 2013, there was a wheat variety treatment effect. Both Everest, Fuller, and T154 and Southwind performed relatively well the first year, to where Billings and Duster's performance compared to the others was reduced a little bit. 2013 and 14, again, there was no summer hybrid or effect, but there was a wheat variety effect. Similar results with Everest, Southwind, and T154 being kind of top performers in that area. But Fuller, from the first growing season to second growing season, yields were reduced compared to other wheat varieties. So in summary, wheat yields following corn in Hutchinson were greater than wheat yields following grain sorghum in the first growing season. I didn't mention it. There wasn't any treatment effects in the second growing season at Hutchinson, so those results were not presented here. Everest and T154 tended to be more suitable across all environments and management systems. Duster and Billings were more suitable to the Hutchinson environment compared to the Manhattan environment. Within the Hutchinson location, Billings performed better following grain sorghum compared to Duster following grain sorghum. Southwind tended to be more suitable in the Manhattan environment compared to the Hutchinson environment. And then Fuller varied across all environments, but in Hutchinson in the first growing season, yields were significantly reduced following grain sorghum compared to when it was following corn. In conclusion, results indicate that wheat yields following grain sorghum were not influenced by grain sorghum plant color or hybrid maturity, and that there are winter wheat varieties that can be identified that are suitable for planting after grain sorghum in no-till managed systems. I'd like to thank the Kansas Grain Sorghum Commission, my graduate committee, and all employees that have helped me with this study the past couple years.
We have time for a couple questions for our speaker, if there are any questions.
Yes, you mentioned you had a difficult season in 2012 at Hutchinson, and that sorghum regrew. Was there a lot of difference in biomass no-till planting between the sorghum and the corn?
There was. There was quite a bit. There was enough biomass to continue with the study, even though there wasn't grain yields. But within the sorghum, there definitely was more biomass accumulation compared to biomass following the corn.
Do you think that would have had an impact on either the soil temperature planting that late or on early growth, if you know any differences in early growth?
Yeah, there was significant early growth for the wheat following the corn by about 3 or 4 months. Emergence for following grain sorghum wasn't until February, to where it was in end of November, December for falling corn.